In your Bibles or in your bulletins to Romans chapter 1, as we're starting this new series on Romans. This is Paul's greatest work, considered his greatest work by many, has had deep impact on generations. Here we have the beginning of it, but he didn't set out to write a theological treatise. He's not writing a PhD work. He's not writing some abstract thing to scholars. This is a letter. And so we see the standard format for letters that from that day. First, who's writing? Paul. Secondly, verse 7, who it's to, those in Rome. But in between, he breaks convention. He breaks the convention of the day. And in this small section here, this is in seed form, that which from which the rest of Romans grow. This summarizes his entire message right here at the beginning. Let's give attention to the reading of God's holy word. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who is descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Oh Lord God, as we look at this, your word, we pray that your Spirit would be with us even now. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you feel like you're in need of good news? What would qualify as good news? My baseball team is on a 10-plus game winning streak. Oil prices are falling. Stocks are rising. The retirement account's looking better. A friend's coming to visit. They've discovered a cure that cures all cancer. What would qualify as the best news? Maybe a good report from your doctor. Maybe your candidate getting to office. Maybe you say the best news is she said yes. Paul is here writing to the Romans. And he tells us in verse 1 that he's been set apart for the gospel of God. That word gospel is a Greek word that means good news. The good news of God. Here he is in a distance, at times in his life, a prisoner of Rome, writing to the church in Rome who he's never yet visited, but he intends to visit. We'll get more into that in future weeks. And he writes with good news. Rome said they had good news. This Paul tells us here, grace and peace. Rome claimed that they brought peace to the world. The Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. Yet that peace came because the phalanx forced it to. Because Rome imposed her will. Rome was the political and military superpower. The emperor reigned, and if you didn't want to listen to the emperor, then you found out what kind of power he had. Those subject to Rome didn't think the rule of Rome was that good news after all. But Paul here comes with good news, the gospel of God. And what Paul is doing here in verses 2 through 6, he's unpacking what he means by this good news of God. Borrowing from a Pastor Dick Lucas, I'm using the outline of the source, content, and impact of this good news. Source, content, and impact. First of all, the source. Where does this news come from? Look with me again in verse 1. This is the gospel of God. It comes from God. This is the good news of what God has done, concerned with his promises, his deeds. This news is what God has been talking about ever since he started working this world. Verse 2, he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Paul's making the shocking claim that the whole of the Old Testament is about this. What he is proclaiming, That God promised this beforehand. God gave a word and over the course of time made that word come true. And that this is the word that he has been commissioned to proclaim. Again, verse 1, he's called to be an apostle. We see in verse 5 that through Christ, he has received apostleship. What is an apostle? This is another Greek word. It means one who is sent. When you look in the New Testament, this word is used in a general sense, but it's also used in a special way to talk about a special group that Jesus has commissioned. Those are often called the 12. Paul was numbered among them as one untimely born, he tells us. Who were these apostles? They could do miracles, they could do signs, but the point of those miracles was to attest that they should be believed. And what should people believe about them? The apostles, to a man, said that they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. That they had themselves with their own eyes seen the risen Lord. They knew the tomb was empty because they had seen and spoken with Jesus Christ. The source of this good news comes from God himself. You know, sources matter. A couple years ago around Christmas, I was getting ready for the holidays, and rather than just getting Christmas cards in the mail, I got a letter that the source really mattered. It was from the IRS, and it turned out I owed $500 in taxes. And it was the second letter, the first one got lost in the mail somehow, with a warning that if I did not comply, that they would put a lien on my house. My accountant had somehow checked the wrong box. Everything got worked out pretty easily, but the source of that letter mattered. Around that time, I haven't gotten as much now, around that time, I was getting calls every day on my phone from these companies that cared deeply that my extended warranty on my car had expired. That source didn't matter so much to me. Sources matter. Now, this isn't bad news. This isn't letter like getting a letter from the IRS that you don't want to hear that you have to comply to. This is good news. And it's from God. And you know, one of the things that's shocking about this is the whole of the book of Romans is so focused on God and his work. And this confronts us. This confronts us because the nature of humanity, the nature of our hearts, is we want to put ourselves front and center in all of life. And as soon as people start talking about God, the temptation of many hearts is to say, that's not relevant, it doesn't apply, how does that help me in my week ahead? Our lives are so focused on what we want. And that is, after all, at the heart of what sin is. Sin is saying, I want to be the center of my life. I'm going to sit on my own throne. I don't need God. And the good news is that God comes not just announcing that he is, but he comes with the good news of redemption, which we will get into in a moment. The other thing I want you to consider in thinking about this source is how this source here, how because it reminds us it's from God, promised of old, proclaimed to the apostles, this comforts us intellectually. Imagine for a second that we went out to your mailbox and you got a letter in the mail that said it was from God. You would do a lot of homework to make sure that that was true, would you not? This is a letter to the Romans. And Paul claims that the authority of God lies behind this letter. And it wasn't just to them, although it's addressed to them. Verse 6 talks about the sake of his name among all nations, so it applies to you and to me. Consider that first resurrection morning when the disciples in that first week met Christ, how shocked they were. And then they went their entire lives proclaiming that Jesus was risen from the grave. So far as we can tell, all of them died or were exiled for their faith. What can explain that these men testified to the last that Jesus is risen unless he was actually risen? Would they have died for a lie? You know, there's a lot of intellectual things that can be said. I have a little booklet for any that are interested in more information, the resurrection. You happy to give those out to those that want them. The fact of the matter is the scripture gives us evidence upon evidence that we can trust that this is from God. And the real issue is one of our own hearts and submission before him. It's easy for people to say, I want proof. The early apostles had proof, and yet even in that day, not everyone believed. Yet the source of this good news is from God himself. What is the content, though? What is the content of this good news? You know, contents matter greatly. In my apps on my phone, like many of you, I belong to several rewards programs. Occasionally I get this great email, congratulations, open up your reward. And I'm so excited. You know, that dopamine hit when you see something exciting on your phone and I go to open it and great, I get a $2 off a $12 entree that I wasn't planning on buying anyhow. There goes my budget. You know, sometimes people proclaim to have good news, but what they say is not really that great to begin with. If you have good news, it better be good. Also, if you have good news, it better not be a bait and switch. You know, the last couple of years, and even before I got here, this church has done Easter egg hunts for the community. The church I was at in North Jersey did the whole time I was there. I've done about 15 of these. And we always have, invite the whole church to help stuff the candy. And there's something about that junior high age where someone always thinks it's a funny idea to either put an empty egg out or better yet, to eat the candy and put the candy wrapper in the empty egg. And that junior high student needs the reminder to put yourself in someone's shoes, have a little empathy, think what it would be like, how you would feel if you were six and got the already eaten candy wrapper in your egg. The good news is not a bait and switch. It's interesting, we also have these golden eggs, and every time we come across the golden eggs, those same junior high boys also say, oh, we should fill this with money. That's more like it, right? Everyone would love to get a golden egg full of money. The contents matter. This better not be a bait and switch. It better not be mediocre. It better not be an exaggeration. How many of you have seen the musical Newsies? Remember, Jack says that it's Newsies that sell papes. And so here he is teaching this new kid how to sell papes. He's like, extra, extra, Ellis Island in flames. And the guy's teaching is like, where's that story? Meanwhile, Jack's dishing out the papers. Thank you, sir. He turns to David, page 9. And as he says that, thousands flee in panic, much obliged to you. And David's seeing the ring, the paper, trash fire next to immigration building terrifies seagulls. Jack, terrified flight of inferno, thousands of lives at stake, extra, extra, thank you, sir. Is this good news an exaggeration? What is the contents here? The contents here really are the greatest news the world has ever heard. Look in verse 3. What is the content of this news? Concerning his son. The good news is that God has acted through our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is it's not about me and it's not about you. It's all about him. The whole focus of the scripture focuses on our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at how Paul even begins to break this down in the rest of the phrases in verses 3 and 4. These are so rich, we don't have time to dive deeply into them, but still consider them. Concerning his son, who is descended from David according to the flesh. Go back and listen to what we looked at last week in 2 Samuel 7, this promise that God gave David that one of his sons would build a house for God and that would bring glory to God's name and that this son's reign would endure for all eternity. And Jesus is of the seed of David. He belongs to that line, the house that was fallen, that which was cut off in the exile. Jesus is here to rebuild that booth, to rebuild that place where all the nations would come and be able to praise God concerning his son who is descended from David according to the flesh. He's like you and me. He knows how difficult this life is. He wasn't just God come in this mystical form that looked like human flesh. He really was human. No one likes it when someone sits above human suffering and looks on it and talks about what we should do. But when someone enters in and knows and understands, that's someone I can relate to. Concerning his son, who is descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power. This doesn't say here that Jesus became the Son of God. He was declared the Son of God. He already was that, but what he first came in weakness, but after his resurrection, we see that he is the Son of God in power, that he has power and authority over all things. And how did this come about? According to the Spirit of holiness. Again, commentators love to write about all the possible meanings of this. I think what's most likely is this is referring to the holiness that Jesus himself internally has. Although he was a man of the flesh, he was unlike us because he was not marred by sin. And because of the nature of the life that was in him, death could not hold him. And so what happened? It was by his resurrection from the dead that we see that these things are so. That in the resurrection, we see the astounding, powerful victory of Christ. His victory over sin. His victory over the grave. So this really is the greatest news. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you allowing this news to shape your life? The source of the news, the content of the news. Third, the impact of the news. It's always great to ask, so what? Why does this news matter? Well, look what Paul says. Through Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 5, through whom we receive grace and apostleship. Now, we've already talked about the apostleship, but look at what he says. Through whom we've received grace. Look in verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus do what he did? Why did he suffer? Why did he come as a man? Why did he go to that cross? Why did he go to the grave? So that he could say to every person who trusts him, I will never cast you out. So that he could say to every person that trusts in him and him alone, grace to you. What is grace? Grace is a gift, undeserved favor, something we cannot earn. And who is this grace for? Look with me in verses 6 and 7, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This is for grace for all who belong to Christ, all who trust him. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Notice this isn't just for the mature. This isn't for those that show up in church every time the doors are unlocked. This isn't for those that work hard and are better than their neighbors and do more. This isn't for those who are performing and performing and performing. This is for those who belong to Christ, who trust him because it's a gift. You know, after Good Friday, this last 2 days ago, Saturday, one of you sent me an Instagram video, and within hours, I had dozens of Facebook friends sharing this same video. Some of you have probably seen it. It's a sermon from Alistair Begg in November 2019, and he talks about how the cross is about what Christ has done and not about what we have done. And I'm just going to read to you a lengthy portion of his sermon. Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that, to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you're getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer that in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong because I believe, because I have faith, because I am this, because I'm continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. Think about the thief on the cross. I can't wait to find that fellow one day and ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you're cussing the guy out with your friend. You'd never been to a Bible study. You'd never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How'd you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me. Let me get my supervisor. Then they go to get the supervisor angel. So we've got a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I've never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. And the guy's just staring blankly. And eventually, in frustration, the angel says, "On what basis are you here?" And he says, "The man in the middle cross said I can come." The good news concerning his son who is descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the impact is grace, grace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you trust this grace? Do you trust that it's not about you, but it's about him, his love, his sacrifice, his victory? And notice as we trust this grace, look at how the impact is unfolded in verses 5 and 6. What does this do as we trust in the grace of God? To bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. These three things, bookend Romans, you see the same three things appear in Romans 16, 25 through 27. The obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. You see, if we've received the grace of God, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Paul says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This phrase, the obedience of faith, is a beautiful phrase. It's not saying we earn God's love, but if we've come to Christ by faith, then that faith transforms us from the inside out. Secondly, for the sake of his name. What this leads to is praising God, giving glory and praise to him. And the climax of the book of Romans is Paul bursting forth in praise. Romans 11, 33, "Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." That because of the grace he has given, we respond with praise and adoration. We don't earn that grace. We receive it as a free gift. And our lives are to be lives of praise. And notice that this is to be among all nations. And so the book of Romans is going to be concerned with how warring peoples live at peace. Romans 9 through 11, the question of how Jew and Gentile can live in the same church. That in Christ, there's a unity that can be had that cannot be found anywhere else. The church truly is the only truly multicultural, multi-ethnic institution in the whole globe. Every place the gospel goes, people turn to Christ. Every place that Christ is proclaimed, men and women, old and young, foolish and wise alike, come to Christ and find a hope and a unity in him that they have not found elsewhere. The obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. Consider the powerful impact of what Christ has done. Consider how impactful even our very words are. Consider the power of human words. Even an infant, before they can speak, when they cry in the night, think of the great power they have to rouse their parents out of their sleepy beds. Our words have power, for good or for ill. Proverbs reminds us that the tongue has the power of life and death. Anyone that's been through middle school knows this is true. And some of you are probably hurting today still from words that people have said towards you. But you've also been blessed by words that have encouraged you and blessed you and honored you and helped you to grow. Now, if words can have this kind of power, how much more so the voice of the Son of God when on the cross he says it is finished, and in light of the empty tomb, he speaks Mary's name. That our Lord came for us and for our salvation, that the resurrection shows his great power. We see that he is the Son of God in power. And so we can respond to his grace, a response that leads to the obedience of faith for the sake of his name above among all nations. So we've seen this morning, this is good news. We're coming up in about a month to May 8th. How many of you know what May 8th is? VE Day? Victory in Europe, a day of great celebration, celebrating the end of Nazi Germany, the fall of Hitler's Reich. Celebrating that there will be no more killings of Jews, of innocents, of handicapped, no more fighting on the Western or Eastern front. A day of great celebration where celebrations erupted throughout the Western world, especially United Kingdom and North America. More than 1 million people showed up in the streets of UK to mark the end. Trafalgar Square was packed. Buckingham Palace Court was packed. Churchill stepped out to a large cheering crowd and said, "God bless you all. This is your victory. In our long history, we've never seen a greater day than this. Everyone, man or woman, has done their best." And it was a great day, and it's worth remembering. And yet, the African-American soldiers that went to put their lives on the line to fight for the freedom of others came home to the Jim Crow South. The soldiers that gave their lives to end fighting came home to broken families, came home with selfishness in their hearts. And in case you didn't notice, there's been a lot of war since World War II ended. When and where can we find news that all wars will cease, when all the wrongs will be undone, when everything will be put right? That is the news that Paul proclaims. The news here is a news that makes it all the way to the heart. Its source is from God. God is the one that has done this work. He is the one that proclaims it to the world. And its contents is Christ and his work. Fully God, yet fully man. The one coming to fulfill all the promises of Israel, but those promises are for every nation. The one that offers a grace that will transform so that the name of God may be praised throughout the world. In a moment, we will sing together, "Oh, praise the name." What a great hope we have this Easter morning. What a great hope we have every morning. Because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let us look to God in prayer. Well, Lord God, we praise you and thank you for Christ. We praise you for the salvation that we have through his death and resurrection. Lord, we long for that day when all wars will cease, when there will be no more evil and ill in this world. We thank you that Christ is the first fruits and that our hearts can be filled with joy even now. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us stand and praise his name. Amen.